Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
With the Philadelphia 76ers without their all-star center, Joel Embiid, coming into Brooklyn tonight. First postseason game in this city in 4 years. But the 76ers spoil the party.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Durant hits a three and just add to a big night here in L.A. 35, the number on his back, and the points on the board for KD.
Iguodala, another offensive rebound. How hot is KD? He's got 38 now.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Kuzma gets it back for the Jets. Nowhere to go. It's under Morrissey. Pops three. Shankly can't clear it. Bozak in front, the star! Schwartz, tip it in! I do not believe it! Schwartz has given the Bulls with 15 seconds to go! A 3-2 lead! This is crazy!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
Yeah, beautiful for now. It was a little deceiving morning. We're both in shorts. I think we're all in shorts and t-shirts.
Kind of getting a little cold, to be honest with you.
I was feeling great on my way in. Windows down, nice little morning. And then I got into the studio, looked out over the Willamette, the poopy Willamette, and looking a little icy out there.
Just a quick front that's got to pass through. It'll clear up for the weekend.
A few showers here going into the evening.
I'm actually cool with it raining today.
Okay.
Did I want sun? Yes, I dressed that way. But if it rains tonight, less incentive to move from my couch and miss any part of any basketball game.
Very true. Yeah, once 6:30 rolls around, it is put the button on the couch kind of night and see what happens in game three.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Is this a quiet game by yourself on the couch with ample supplies, or is this
I don't know. I haven't decided yet which route I want to go.
Meet your friends at your favorite watering hole with a big group.
A watch party kind
of
night.
I have a little bit of a back and forth of what I could do here. I could go to a watering hole right up the road. My brother-in-law is going to Oregon City with his brother. I could meet up and watch the game there.
There you go.
Or I could stay at my house. My kids and my family are going to be around.
Yeah.
Which I'm used to watching games with the kids yelling and screaming. Right. That doesn't really bother me anymore.
Right. You got a little kid hoop set up in the living room for them to dunk on?
Yes.
There you go.
You're playing with a little bit of house money. Everybody thinks the Thunder is going to, you know, pull it together here tonight.
I disagree with that. I know Vegas is obviously the biggest one saying the Thunder win. I think
this is the biggest spread tonight, I think.
Yes, but I don't know if the national media who have talked about this series feel that way. This has been a big Dame is better than Russ week.
Everybody's jumped the shark now. It's over.
Charles Barkley still maintaining the Blazers win the championship. People are talking about, is this going to be a sweep? I'm not quite sure I buy it. I know the Vegas thing is big, but
The Vegas one is interesting, though, too, because we talked about it yesterday, and I thought the lock of the century was Golden State in Game 3 after blowing a 31-point lead, going to L.A., and just dismantling the Clippers, and that did happen. But we talked about it to close out the show last night. That line was only 8.5. The Warriors, and granted, I know they're on the road, so it's a different equation, but they were only favored to win that game by 8.5 points.
That was easy money if you listened to us.
Oklahoma City is favored by 7.5 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that blew my mind a little bit.
But
now, I'm going to pick Oklahoma City, but 7.5 after what happened in the first two games and having a comparable line between Golden State and L.A.?
See, but what's the alternative, though? Because if Oklahoma City loses, the series is done.
Sure, it's over. Yeah,
like, nobody's ever come back from 3-0. It's done. You're not coming back. That's just... You need a substantial injury to happen to come back from 3-0 deficit.
What year was that? 2002? 2001? What year was that?
Zebo's rookie year, wasn't it?
Zebo's rookie year, down 3-0, forcing the game 7 in Dallas, and then falling short.
2004.
He
was an 04 guy, I believe. God, maybe he was 02. God. Anyways, it's never happened, though. So I think Vegas is saying this is the Thunder playing their best game. Let's make the spread accordingly. Now, I am one that is not going to dismiss this because most of the local media picking the Thunder. I am not going to dismiss Portland winning tonight. I really think they're going to win one of the two.
I think game two should have proved that to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they won by 20.
Yeah. In a game where they were down early, the last, however the last 4 minutes of that first half went, kind of determined, they could have easily been down 10 or 12 at halftime rather than even, and then you're in a hole. So the grit, the determination, the focus of this particular group of Blazers is not like what we've seen the last few years.
Well, I think the biggest thing, too, is the injury that's lingering over the whole series. Paul George had an extra day. I'm really curious to see how he looks tonight because he looked good in the first half of game two.
I thought you meant the Enes Kanter hand injury.
No, I mean, that is, I mean, that does, that might play a role.
He didn't in game two.
Yeah, well, no.
he did next to nothing.
Yeah, they didn't need to play him in the third quarter because the third quarter was so good, and they elected to go defense. But Paul George looked really good, I thought, in the first half of game two. He was aggressive, had 16 points, was knocking down some shots, and then for whatever reason, it wasn't there in the second half. He only had 11, and you needed more if you're OKC to win that game. But that's the weird part about injuries in the playoffs is you get that extra rest day. Like, not every series has it. But Portland and Oklahoma City did, where you had 2 days off in between the last two games. So he had an extra 24 hours to get the shoulder ready instead of having to play last night.
I don't know. Where would you gauge the audience rooting for Portland tonight? Do you think most of them are in the camp of they're expecting a loss?
I think so. I think most people are expecting this is Oklahoma City's season.
Now, do you believe that they truly believe that, or do you think they're the type of people that go, oh, we're going to lose just so they can lose their effing minds if Portland's able to win tonight?
I think you go in just being realistic, not saying you don't want them to win. You're not going to root for them to win. You just understand these are somewhat evenly matched teams. Game one was close. Game two was close for a while in the first half, especially. You're going on the road. I think we all expect Oklahoma City's shooting to turn around at home, but we said that about game two.
We did say the same thing.
Vegas is telling you it's a 7.5-point spread. That's pretty sizable considering the NBA playoffs and the way the first two games of this series went. So, yeah, I think you go in with realistic expectations for tonight, and if Portland wins, you lose your mind because that is the end of the series.
God, it's insane, isn't it?
It could all be over. I mean, not all over. You guys still got to go win one more, but it could be the nail in the coffin tonight, which would be wild. Because I think if you get up 3-0 in the NBA playoffs,
you kind of root for. I mean, this is gonna sound stupid because Portland would be totally the team that this happens to. There's a part of me, and I talked about this with Will, where you maybe root for a loss in game four if they win game three so you can come back and celebrate game five.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care where you win.
I know. Nobody cares where you win it.
It doesn't matter.
Enjoyable to watch and listen to the Moda Center celebrate a night like that.
I also take sweet satisfaction, though, in winning a series on the road. Like in front of the opposing fans and watching them leave the arena, at them falling short on their home floor in front of their fans.
This is true.
I like that a little bit.
There's something to that. I'll give you it.
I get you. The celebration factor is great. I remember being in game six when they knocked off the Clippers a couple years ago and they won that series. Like that was cool to be there and in that moment.
The problem with that series, though, was as unpredictable and as insane as it was to celebrate and enjoy. We all know the truth. You're maybe getting swept if Blake Griffin and Chris Paul don't go down.
Injuries were a big part of it.
What do you mean? That was the deciding factor. That was the only reason they won that series. They were down 2-0.
Yeah.
And they got their asses kicked. And then that happened and it turned around and they won four straight. So this would feel, even with the Paul George injury, his stats could still end up being like 25 points per game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. If he can turn his shooting around a little bit, somewhere in like a 36% range from three, you know, there's still a chance where his stats, even though he's injured, still look pretty good. And you're like, look, he wasn't 100%, but he was playing. And you'd feel a little better about that, I think, than even the Clippers series.
Yeah, there is. It's an interesting place to be in, too, because coming into this series, nobody gave, ourselves included, gave Portland a chance to win it. National media all picked Oklahoma City to win this series. And it's funny how just quickly of a flip everybody's done. Like on PTI yesterday, Wilbon said Dame's his favorite player to watch right now in the playoffs. Woj is doing hits on ESPN talking about how there's a window here for Portland to go on a title run.
Yeah.
Barkley picked him to win the NBA championship. Like it's funny how quickly the national narrative can change around a team within two games.
Yeah. Game three is going to be interesting tonight. There's no doubt about it. We're going to talk about that and many more things. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Visit to score.
I don't really
care about like this day in history stuff. But this one is wild because I remember watching this live and it makes me feel a little old. On this day, 14 mm-hmm. years ago,
okay,
The Office played their basketball game in the warehouse.
That was 14 years ago?
14 years ago.
It's a classic episode of television.
Michael Scott picked Stanley because he's black. Stanley was terrible. And Michael Scott said, wait, what?
Everybody else was draining shots.
Dwight had the face mask.
He did, yeah.
Phyllis was draining them, but she wouldn't get picked. She's a girl.
I can't believe that was 14 years ago. That's wild.
Yeah, makes you feel old. We got a good show today on the Fast Break Friday edition. Obviously, we're going to dive some more into this Portland-Oklahoma City game. Got two stops to make at the Daily Ticker. Both are local stories. Want to know how you guys feel games 3 and 4 are going to go, because we're going to come back Monday and we're going to have two games to talk about.
Could be a 3-1 lead. It could be a sweep. You could be tied 2-2. Monday's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, we'll get into that. How do you guys feel going back to Oklahoma City? Are we overreacting a bit because Portland just did what they were supposed to do? They won at home in the first two games. Oklahoma City's a tough place to win. The Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, did something that is kind of blowing everybody's minds today. It's very on brand for the John Gruden era, albeit going into just year two. But somebody kind of defended the move. In a way. So we'll talk about that story today at 1 o'clock. I want to get to something that kind of involves Tiger Woods and the Masters,
okay?
That I heard, and I heard it on my drive, and I thought, there's a lot of validity to it. So I'll tell you what that is at 1:15 today. OSU spring game. We talked about the Oregon one. That is actually one of the stops of the Daily Ticker. OSU also having a spring game, but they're playing nobody.
Tomorrow at 11 a.m.
But they're playing nobody.
Yeah, they're sitting a lot of guys. They're being cautious about injuries.
Yeah, we'll dive into the OSU thing because I know Nemec made that a conversation yesterday with some people about OSU not having any traction. I also said that yesterday on the show, too, is just like I didn't even know their spring game was Saturday. I know they were just up here at Mountainside. So we'll talk about that a little bit at 1:30. Crunch time. And of course, we got to spray the line today at 2:30. So send in your spraying line sponsors at 55305. The better you today. Text line. It's going to be a fun show today. Follow us on Twitter at Durant Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. We'll start Game 3, Portland OKC. Your feelings as of right now, how the game is going to go. We'll start there on The Fan. Like moving my feet. We got two stops to make on the Daily Ticker coming up here. Feeling good on a Friday. Game 3 tonight, 6:30. Always nice when you get a local big game on a Friday night. I'm too old to be going out to clubs, so
sit down, have a couple of beers, a couple of Pelicans, and enjoy yourself Game 3.
I've gone back and forth on this game. I have to admit to you, since they won Game 2, I thought about Game 3, and my first instincts was, Oklahoma City's going to win, because I can't see a sweep. Could be totally wrong come Monday.
Sure.
I can't see them sweeping. Could I see them winning the series at this point? Sure, right. My prediction looks wrong as of today. But I have gone back and forth. And the problem is Vegas is in my head, and I think that's okay because Vegas is doing that line for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, they had Portland a slight favorite in Game 2, and they won by 20 points.
But here is where the decision becomes difficult for me on who I think wins Game 3. I think Damian Lillard has unlocked a element of himself that we haven't quite seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I think the leadership, I've known he's been a great leader for a few years now, but I feel like it's almost been amplified in the postseason, and the confidence with everybody else is all stemming from him and the confidence he has within his teammates. And I've watched and I've heard all of their practice stuff yesterday, and I've seen the quotes and seen a couple cuts from today. They're not satisfied whatsoever. And I think you can even go back to the questions that were asked and answered after Games 1 and 2. They didn't care about a 10-game losing streak. They don't care about being up 2-0.
Yeah.
It's just like a very, it's a work approach. And I know it's their job, so does break. But like what I mean by that is this is a business approach here where they're going in and they're saying, we don't care. This is 0-0 for us. And as much as Oklahoma City is supposedly going to play their best game tonight and play with their hair on fire, Portland is probably going to have the same approach because Portland doesn't want to come back 2-2. You want to bury an opponent. And Lillard has shown in the first two games Westbrook brings this out of him of rip your heart out and throw it right back in your face. As much as we talk about OKC playing desperately dirt, I think Portland might come out desperate as well, thinking they have nothing right now on OKC.
Go for the kill shot. You win tonight, it's all over. I could see Oklahoma City collapsing in game four. Maybe they rest guys. That has a team that's going to quit down 3-0 written all over it.
They quit in game two, in my opinion.
If you're able to win tonight. So I think you're right on the Lillard approach, because he's just playing at a different level, and I think everybody's expecting him to go out there and have another big game tonight. I am approaching this playoff series the same way that I've approached the entire season, and that's trying to not get too high or too low, reminding myself that there's been situations like this in the past that almost didn't turn out great. Like, the Houston series still sticks out in my mind. I remember when Portland went down and won the first two games and Aldridge went crazy, and it was like, wow, look at this dominant performance. Now they're coming home. And next thing you knew, you were in a game six situation needing a miracle shot with 0.9 seconds left in order to win the series. And if Dame doesn't hit that shot, you're staring a game seven on the road in Houston in the face after losing 3 out of 4. So these things can change quickly, and it's important to remember that. And I'm just taking the same approach where I'm not expecting a ton. And if they surprise me, I'm all for it. I just think game threes are really difficult to win when you're going on the road, for the main part because how much do you trust the role players for Portland?
Well, they haven't done
the same way that they've played at home. And not to say that you've had dominant performances, but I think that's the difference from you have the home mojo, the crowd's behind you, they're almost willing in every shot that you're taking. Now you're going into a hostile territory where Portland has not been a great road team for large stretches of the season. There's not a lot of wins that you can check off and say that was a really good quality win on the road. So I think it's a whole different mindset and a whole different battle to try and go out there and do it. And on the flip side, I think you use the poor performances of Oklahoma City, and you just have to think that that's going to change in game three. If it doesn't, I will be pleasantly surprised, and Portland will be up 3-0 if they come out and shoot 15% again from three. But there's just a difference in playing at home than playing on the road in the playoffs, and I'm giving OKC some credit there.
By the way, I didn't mean role players like all of them. I've actually given a lot of them credit. I meant more the bench. Like, the bench hasn't really done too much from a scoring standpoint.
But Curry's hit some big shots for you. But Hood, had moments. Hood hasn't done much.
Yeah, Hood has done next to nothing in the first two games. Maybe he can finally get it going in game three, and we know he had a good stretch there with Portland at the end of the year. But traveling is a different scenario, right? Going in an arena where you go from having 19,000 people going nuts for you to 19,000 people hating you is an entirely different thing. And there's also a comfort factor. I didn't tell this story, but after game two, I got all the audio stuff, and sometimes I like to kind of just lurk. It's a little creepy if you saw it from afar, but I like to lurk a little bit where the players, they hang out right before the away team leaves and the home team goes to their cars. A lot of them will meet up and they'll like talk, and they got mutual friends. Their shoe companies are always there. I like to see that scene. I'm always curious how it is. And GP was in at game two.
They showed him on TV. He was scowling the entire time when they showed him.
Of course,
hilarious.
And I love the instant, like, he's an Oakland guy. Like, does he like Dame? Sure. There's really not that much of a relationship there. In fact, he was talking with Paul George post game, and not Damian Lillard. But I believe they share the same agency, the Goodwood agency. GP's been with them for years, and Dame has been with them, I think, his whole career. So he had tickets with them. And I'm watching everybody interact. You know what I noticed the most? It wasn't Paul George. It wasn't Russell Westbrook and his dad walking to the bus by themselves. It was Jeremy Grant consoling. And I'm not saying this like consoling Terrence Ferguson. Terrence Ferguson has been atrocious in this series. He's played terrible defense. He can't buy a bucket. This is a guy that is actually a pretty key contributing member to what the Thunder have been this year.
He's a starting shooting guard.
And he's a dude that you leave him open and you get nervous. You're like, ah, no, not Ferguson. He can't hit a shot in this series so far. And I wonder what going home is going to mean for him. Because Jeremy Grant he had his arm around him coming out of the locker room. Ferguson, again, he just looked dejected. He could not believe how bad he played in game two. And I think the whole team would kind of have that same feel of like, this really just happened. We got our ass kicked tonight. A lot of people thought we were the favorite in this series.
Right.
And he's consoling them. He's walking to them. They stop. They again keep talking. I'm walking past. I'm hearing Jeremy Grant, you just got to keep shooting. You got to keep shooting, man. Don't lose faith. And like, I'm just thinking, man, they might just be so far in their heads of how bad they've shot and how well Portland is playing. Ball movement, Dame, CJ, how much that matters. You know, you go to game three. I know it's you're in your own bed, you're in your arena. That's different. And Oklahoma City could win tonight, but that kind of stuff does matter to me. I do buy into that, you know, watching pro athletes. And we know when you're a pro athlete, how much of it is a mental game.
Absolutely.
And when a guy like that, who is so big for them behind the perimeter, is being consoled by Jeremy Grant and being told not to stop losing faith and to keep shooting the ball, maybe it means absolutely nothing tonight. Or maybe there is going to be something to it and Portland's going to find a chance to steal one tonight.
Yeah, just trying to do some math in my head. I think Grant, Westbrook, and Ferguson combined to go, what would it have been, 9 of 37 from the floor.
In game two.
That's three guys in your starting lineup combining to go 9 of 37 from the floor.
You know what's crazy is I don't think Grant is this like game changer.
No, but he was 1 of 7, 0 of 5 from three. And I felt like every one of those threes was wide open.
He's a bad matchup for Portland.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I think he's a bad matchup for Portland. And if he was playing better, I think he'd obviously be giving Oklahoma City a much better chance of winning one of those two games in Portland. But he's been awful too.
Yeah, I buy into the mental aspect you're talking about. And I think it's why when you look at game three, the start is going to be so important. Oklahoma City needs some positive vibes. They need to see some shots go down. Because I think if they do, their mojo is going to change a little bit. They can get their confidence can come and go so quickly. And you see it throughout the course of a game where you can be down 12 or 15 points. Next thing you know, you're tied and all the momentum and confidence is in the other side. If Oklahoma City comes out and they're clanking shots and Portland's playing defensively with the same intensity and effort that they did in game one and game two, and nothing has switched for Oklahoma City, I totally buy in that the mental game starts to weigh on them a little bit and they start to question themselves and they start to wonder why aren't these shots falling? And then you start to press and then the Westbrook starts forcing stuff because his teammates aren't knocking things down. I think I absolutely buy into that snowball effect. And that's why I think the first quarter is going to be huge tonight, because if Oklahoma City comes out and they get a couple open looks, let's say Grant knocks down an early three, Ferguson gets a couple early shots, Westbrook seems to be in control, Paul George is healthy, I think that's a locker room that can get their confidence back rather quickly.
Sure.
But vice versa, if Dame is still hitting 30-foot logo shots, daggers, and Oklahoma City can't buy a bucket, and maybe you're down by 10 in the early going, that stuff weighs on you mentally, and it's hard to overcome.
See, now I'm not going to be stunned if they lead the first quarter and Portland's down double digits. I won't be on my couch going, oh, here it goes, because I think Portland has the ability with their shooting to get right back in a game.
Do you buy that they can on the road?
Yes, I do. Okay. And I could be proven wrong, but I think they're in a groove right now. And sometimes you can just tell when a team is feeling good about themselves and they kind of have this air of confidence. The road is a different animal. It's not the first quarter for me. I think it's the third. I think by the end of the third, if Portland is within 5 or less, I think Oklahoma City's going to go into that fourth, and it's going to be very interesting energy in that arena from Westbrook, from George, from the role guys to Donovan, because Oklahoma City is expected by Vegas and maybe by many Blazer fans and other people to win this game tonight, and some think comfortably. But if Portland is within striking distance, you know, one or two shots going into the fourth, Portland's going out in the fourth quarter guys, we're right here. We got a shot to steal this thing. And I think that is where a guy like Westbrook, I like Westbrook. That's a controversial thing, I guess, to say now. He is not a perfect basketball player. He is not the point guard I would pick over X and X and X in the NBA. But I think people dismiss how good he is too often. I think people belittle what he accomplishes on the court too often. I like Westbrook. The one thing that I will fully concede on, and this is where going into the fourth with a lead of a 5 or smaller margin is, I think he potentially could get in his own head and go, oh my God, sure, I've got to save us here. I've got to make sure we don't fall. And you overplay and you pass too many times, or you too quick to the hoop and you bounce the ball off the backboard and you don't get that easy layup. And that's where Dame is so great and he excels at, Dirt, is he's calm. And I think going into the fourth quarter, if they are within something of that, they are going to feel real damn good about themselves. And I think at that point, Dame's going to try to put it upon him to win the game.
Well, at the Westbrook stuff, he hasn't been super aggressive early in either game one or game two, I feel like. And that's where, again, I go back to the start, because I think if guys are missing shots around him, you're going to get that Westbrook. And look, maybe it ends up being a good thing. Maybe he gets hot and can't miss, and Westbrook forcing it ends up being a positive for him. But more often than not, it is a negative. So I think you want other guys to miss shots early to put that pressure on Westbrook. Game one was a nice win. Game two for me was a prove it. All right, go follow it up. Go back at it. You blew a 19-point lead. It was close. Go prove that you can do it again. And they did it. Now I'm viewing game three as a prove it to do it on the road. They haven't been a good road team. Go prove me wrong that you can win a playoff game on the road. And as I've said this entire series, and it will continue to be the case the entire postseason, it comes down to two guys for me. Dame and CJ are playing at an incredible level right now. Dame with the big dagger threes, the 30 points in game one. CJ 12 of 22 for 33, game high 33 in game two. They are playing at an elite level. And Portland is very difficult to beat when those guys are combining for 52 points and that efficient. You want to see them do it. If they do that again tonight in game three, Portland has a great chance to win.
All right, we got two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. After the ticker, I want your guys' thoughts at the Better You Today text line. How do you think games three and four go? 55305. We'll dive into that at 45, but coming up next, the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got two stops to make here on the Daily Ticker. Hope you're enjoying your Friday afternoon. We talked about the Oregon spring game, had Crystal Ball on yesterday to give us the lowdown. So let's talk about it a little more. There's a lot to that goes into this weekend's Saturday matchup. Oregon versus Oregon. Dirt will be down there himself.
The green versus the yellow. Are we going gray versus black? A lot of colors to choose from.
Here we go. Joining us now on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline for everything on what this weekend means for Oregon is our friend Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. J-Hop, thanks for taking a couple minutes up here in Portland with us, man. I'll start with this. I mentioned this yesterday. I do think this matters. It feels like Crystal Ball is trying to make the spring game matter in the same sense of all of the teams in the Midwest and in the southern part of the United States. The attendance might not be 55,000, but do you feel that he is taking this thing to a level we haven't seen before?
Oh, absolutely. Again, we've talked about, and I'm sure he mentioned it, but, you know, Mario Cristobal preaches elevating the program. And he doesn't just mean that in terms of recruiting. It's all things. You know, you've seen the strength and conditioning program elevated. You've seen so many facets of Oregon football elevated. This is yet another example, but it's a big example. I mean, I think, you know, if you're Oregon, it is difficult to get kids to visit. So why not make it as impactful as possible? And there's really no other way to do that. We know that from going to Duck games, how electric it can be, and you hear it time and time again. Well, why not showcase that in the spring? Because as I've mentioned before on the show, you know, the recruiting timeline's escalated so much now. It's different than it was two, three, heck, mm-hmm. you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So I think by taking advantage of this, you know, he's basically challenging, Oregon fans, come out and help us get these kids committed. Help us create the environment that they could experience in September or October. But you got to do it now, and that's just the way recruiting works. I think it's the right move.
Yeah, well, let's get to the main thing for this weekend, J-Hop, all right? Because, there's a ton of former players in town. The GOAT himself is back in Eugene. There's like 1,000 recruits, I feel like, in town. I just want to know about one of them, and that's DJ Uiagalelei. What's the latest on this dude? I've seen you've been writing about, the press that they've put on to recruit him. He's meeting Masoli, who's his icon and his hero. How's that entire thing going with recruiting the big-time quarterback?
Yeah, there is absolutely no question. Here's the deal. You know, at this particular moment, DJ's down to Clemson and Oregon. He visited Clemson a couple weeks ago for their spring game. They put on the full court press. Now it's Oregon's turn, and he's deciding on Cinco de Mayo on May 5th. So they're getting the last crack at it. So there's one thing that you could always, at least right now, you could say about this Oregon staff. If they lose out on a recruit, it's not because of effort. There is no lack of effort. So, you know, everything, they've been geared up big time for DJ coming to town. You know, of course, bringing Mazzoli in and Mariota. Those are two of his favorite players that he's ever grown up watching. So, you know, a lot went into making sure those guys were here. You can see that Mazzoli's already attached to his hip, mm-hmm. as you would want. I mean, why not walk around with him all weekend and make him feel, feel the love and feel special? But, yeah, I mean, he's the guy. And to me, I really don't like to do this, but you almost have to with EJ. He's the guy that really sets up this class, not just because he's a five-star, not just because he's a quarterback. It's those things, along with the fact that he's a great young man off the field. He goes to a powerhouse program in California. And if this kid commits early, you know, here in a few weeks when he can make this decision, you as coaches, Mario Cristobal and his staff, can now use that going into California, you know, and recruiting other players that are going to want to play with him, because that's the name of the game. Great players want to play with other great players. And when you've got the top quarterback in the country committed, it's going to make your job a little bit easier for the offensive staff at the very least. So, you know, I hate to say that this is a program-changing recruit, but it really, really is in this particular instance.
J-Hop, very quickly, man, because this is a big hit segment for us, just a few minutes with each guest. Your percentage chances of Oregon being able to land him as of today, in your opinion?
You know, as of today, I'd be completely blunt. I'd say 20 to 25%. I do feel like Clemson has the lead. You know, they put on a great visit. It's a great program. I mean, Dabo's doing big things out there in Clemson. So right now, today, prior to this visit, which is just getting started this morning, I'd say he's all Clemson. But ask me again on Monday, and we could have an entirely different story, and that's why this visit's so big.
There we go. Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com. The latest Oregon spring game is tomorrow. A lot of coverage here on The Fan. J-Hop, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. We move on to the Daily Ticker now. The MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline travels to Oklahoma City. We were talking about the Blazers 10 minutes ago. Game 3 tonight, 6:30 in OKC. And joining us for the first time on the show, A.J. McCord, Coin 6, is on with us now. A.J., thanks for taking a couple minutes with us. I know you're busy down there. What's the energy, the vibe like with Portland and the confidence for them going into this Game 3?
Absolutely. I'm stoked to be on with you guys. I have to say, this team is very locked in. This is very much a business trip. And I was on the trip last year to New Orleans, and obviously at this point in the series, they were down 0-2. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest with you, the way they talk today was not all that much different than how they talked a year ago, in their intensity, in their need to get this win. Every player I talked to today, from Damian Lillard to Enes Kanter to Zach Collins, they all said this is the biggest game of the series, because this is the one that could very well determine how this series goes. Lillard said a couple days ago, the series doesn't start until we get one there. And so this is a big one, and everybody knows it, and they are, you know, locked in. And like I said, obviously they're up 2-0 on the series, but the way they were talking, you would think it was 0-0 at this point.
Yeah, it's a good mindset to have. And the injury is obviously lingering big in this series. What have we found out now that it's shifting spots and each team had 2 days to get healthy? On Paul George's shoulder, any updates there? And then Kanter banged up his hand, didn't play a ton in the second half of game 2. What's he saying about that injury?
So I did talk to Enes Kanter today about his hand. He said it's not 100%, but he doesn't expect it to be. It's the playoffs. He's going to be fine. He got it iced, and he's ready to go. So he doesn't seem to be worried about it, but it is the playoffs. And so there's a lot of ice going around right now, as you might expect. Paul George, I have not gotten a chance to talk to because their availability was at the same time as the Blazers, which is rather inconvenient. But I did see from yesterday, when he did availability, he didn't have that huge ice pack on his shoulder like he did during the availability in Portland. So I don't know if that's an optics thing or maybe it's actually better, but it didn't look good in Portland when he showed up to availability with his shoulder so high iced that it looked, you know, he looked like the Hunchback, because yeah, he had so much ice on his shoulder. So he didn't have that on yesterday. You know, that being said, It'll be interesting to see how he comes out and plays tonight, because to me, it didn't look like a rhythm thing. Like, I know that's what he keeps saying. It's a rhythm thing about getting back in the flow of everything. But for me, his shots have looked fluid through the series. So, you know, there's no kind of hitch in his giddy up, to borrow an Oklahoma saying, since that's what I'm here for. But it'll be interesting. I think he's the X factor for tonight.
AJ, how surprised are you the way this series has gone in the first two games? Like, what did you think this series would be in Portland to start off? And then where are you at right now with what you've seen?
I don't even know that I want to own up to what I thought this series was going to be when the matchup first came out. I didn't like it. I did not like it for Portland. I thought without Nurkic, this was going to be a bear. But the way Enes Kanter has stepped up, the way Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are leading this team in such, I mean, I keep harping on it, but it is such a business atmosphere. They are here to win two basketball games. That is their plan. That is what they're going out and trying to execute. I think tonight they're well aware that this could very well be OKC's biggest punch. So if they can survive this tonight, I mean, I knew this stat from covering them last year. No team has ever come back from being down 3-0 in a seven-game series to win the whole thing. So they know that if they go out and get this thing tonight, statistically, emotionally, momentum-wise, this is in their favor. And so after seeing them play the first two games, after talking to them today, if I was a betting person, which I am not, I would still place money on Portland tonight.
Yeah. We asked you about the Portland vibe. I thought it was interesting. You said just kind of a business trip, and they're taking it very seriously, and the mentality hasn't changed a whole lot despite winning the first two games. What kind of vibes are you getting from Oklahoma City at this point? I mean, they have to be a little shell-shocked being down 2-0. A lot of people expected them to win game two. But now, as you mentioned, I mean, there's a ton of pressure. This is their season tonight. Now, granted, they're at home, so they're going to have 20,000 people behind them and cheering for them. But what kind of vibes are you getting around OKC right now?
They're angry, without a doubt. I mean, listening to Steven Adams and Paul George in particular, they're very frustrated with how they've been playing. And that said, you know, Paul George was talking about, hey, I'm glad we're home. It's nice to be home. But just because we're home, it doesn't guarantee a win. And we're not doing the things on the court that we need to do to get a win. And at the end of the day, it's the five guys on the court, not the 20,000 in the fans that win, or 20,000 in the stands that win or lose the game. And so they're very frustrated. Steven Adams said some words I'm not allowed to repeat on the radio or on television for how he would describe his feeling. So they're frustrated, but I think, you know, so much about the playoffs, you can't remake a team in the playoffs, right? Like, you are who you are at that point. And so right now, I think OKC is trying to figure out, shoot, who we are has not been enough. And so how do we change that? And really, the 72 hours or whatever it is between games two and three is not a lot of time to make a ton of adjustments. So, they're frustrated, but I think they're frustrated, A, because they're losing, but B, because there's just not a lot of time to really make big changes in the playoffs.
Yeah. AJ, get you out of here on this one. More intimidating to ask an important question to Greg Popovich or Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook.
Really?
Not even close. Not even close, because I think, and to be fair, I have not interviewed Pop, but Russell Westbrook is very intimidating. And when he is up at the podium, he just glares. Like, he starts out glaring. Whereas Pop, like, feel like kind of have to earn it, you know? And I think at the end of the day, what I have seen, I have heard that Russell Westbrook is a nice person off the court. I don't have any personal experience with that. It's not super well documented, but I think Greg Popovich is pretty well documented. He's well respected. He's very well liked, just all around. And so for me, I would fall back on who they are as a person. And Pop, I think, from what I've heard, there's a lot more backing up that he's a good person.
Yeah. AJ McCord, Coin 6. She's down in OKC covering game 3, Portland and OKC, 6:30 tonight. Give her a follow on Twitter at AJ_McCord. AJ, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate the time and enjoy game 3.
Absolutely. Anytime.
There we go. Good stuff from Justin Hopkins and AJ McCord here on the Daily Ticker, the Ducks spring game in game 3. Speaking of that game 3, listeners, 55305, what happens this weekend? Because we got a lot of things we need to get to outside of Portland. What happens? Let us know at the text line, the Better You Today text line. How do you think the weekend unfolds? And what are we talking about on Monday? We'll get there next on The Fan. Well, I know what I'm doing June 24th and 25th. What are you doing? If you got nothing going on in your life on that Monday, Tuesday, why don't you head on out to Langdon Farms via 1080thefan.com. The Fan Golf Classic back yet again. We cannot wait for it. It is filling up rather fast.
Always goes quick. That's why we tell you early in advance, man. This stuff sells out.
We have 3 shotgun start times for you available, so you need to go there quick and get your group in. Again, 1080thefan.com. Food, drinks, $50 to the pro shop. We're going to be out there golfing, doing the shows, having a great time.
Yep.
This is the golf tournament of any radio station of, in my opinion, almost Portland, outside of like the semi-pro guys. So 1080thefan.com, it does fill up. We always get people that complain when it's sold out. That's why we tell you about it through the morning, the afternoon, and drive time.
Yeah, yep. they They added the morning round back on Monday. We didn't do that the last couple of years. So there's three different flights now for the listeners.
I'll say this too. I think we need the listeners' help on this one. We should try and start a change.org petition to send to our boss to allow us to get the days off and just let us mingle with the listeners. Let us walk around. Be with the people. Maybe play a little extra golf.
I've got a couple of days off. I've advocated for that, and I actually mean it.
We get shot down. I know. This is an unfair trade-off because Dusty and Cam don't have to do a show.
I feel like why not take one of the days where you just as a station go, hey, thanks listeners for coming out. Let's have a great time and party.
Yeah, we'll do the beer cart. We'll ride around, have some fun, you know, just be out there talking to the patrons.
Because this is really how it boils down. We golf and then we get done with golf at 11:45 and then we do a 3-hour show where nothing's going on in our lives.
It's the middle of June. It's a little bit of a slow time.
And it's like, why can't we just go mingle?
Come on, find a best of. Let's go.
You guys want to mingle. Yeah. We want to mingle.
Yeah.
The only one in the way here is our boss. You guys just need to convince our boss.
Yeah, there's usually an awkward phone conversation with the newest Blazer draft pick at that point.
Jake Layman was the famous one we had.
We had something about
going bowling. That's usually the highlight of that show.
Yeah.
Other than me getting pelted with golf balls. Right.
Yeah. Whoa. Swigard, you okay? So email our boss. Tell him you don't want us to do a show that day.
I could get the big fuzzy microphone like the guys on the PGA Tour that go around with the groups.
Swigard.
You should. I've stood next to those guys at Chambers Bay for the Open, and it was really funny to watch.
That's actually a good idea. Instead of doing a show, if we do have to be on the air, is there any way to make it a mobile show where we're riding around doing play-by-play?
Yeah, we do regular segments while we're in the golf cart, and then when we stop, we're commenting on what we're watching.
Okay, here comes John and his foursome. He's about 142 yards out.
We'll see.
4 feet.
He's going to take a 6-iron, and
this putt's going to go a little
technology,
to the left.
I will say this.
Is that possible?
The technology
exists to make it happen.
Ooh, we're on to something here.
I will declare that on the air.
Okay. I will not declare bankruptcy. I will declare that.
It's either that or can we get a tower on the 18th and 9th greens? Can we get in the tower and just watch guys hit approach shots and just play-by-play?
Well, no. Can we get in the barn?
Ooh, there you go.
On 8.
Yeah.
I'd be cool with that.
The barn on 8. That's dangerous.
looking down on the green or something.
if I'm on 8 and my round is already in the crapper, I actually aim to hit the barn.
You go roof deflection. You need any kind of mojo you can get to kick a ball onto the green.
I'm kind of just like, well, it's going to deflect back, so let's just see if we can nail this bad boy.
So who's Nance and who's going to do Faldo's accent?
I think you're better with accents than I am.
What is Faldo? Is he English?
Faldo's English.
He's British.
Yes. Mm.
Okay, I'll go Faldo. We could do that.
You talk like that, huh? It's a layup from London. I'm in a lot of pain right now, man. Can you just take care of me?
All right, 1080thefan.com, Fan Golf Classic. Come on, hang out with us June 24th, 25th, 3 shotgun start times. I was told, was it the morning round the one was filling up the most?
One of them's already going fast, I know that.
So. Probably the morning round.
Yeah, the morning round, so come hang out. We've basically just distracted the entire segment away, but that's okay because that's for a good cause. Now, let's dive back into this real quick.
Okay, what do you got?
Monday afternoon, we're cracking the mics. What is our reaction? What are we thinking? Are we like, wow, Oklahoma City won both games by double digits. We should be real concerned now. Are we thinking, oh my God, they got a split. That is all you wanted. Or are we thinking, they're waiting for Denver and San Antonio to end.
Gonna sit around for a week.
Where are we at? Where do you think we're at? Games 3-4 come Monday.
If I put my money on it, I would put the money on them getting a split.
So we're up 3-1 for Game 5 on Tuesday.
My money would
go. We're preparing to clinch the series Tuesday night. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised, really, honestly, in any of those results. Oklahoma City, to me, has enough to win back-to-back games being at home. I think Portland has shown you the way they're playing with a lot of confidence. And Dame being just in FU mode, I'm taking over the NBA playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked if Portland went in there and swept. But the majority of my money would be on a split. Of both of these games, which I think if you're going into the weekend, that's all you can ask for.
You are praying that is
what you're getting,
right?
If you just get a split, you're feeling great. You still have two more home games to try and close it out, and you are incredibly confident moving forward in that series. But I already dug my grave, but I said after game two, no matter what happens this weekend, my opinion on the series has changed. I have enough confidence in Portland's ability to win at home with two more home games to go, that even if you lose both these games by double digits, I'm not gonna back down on that, because Oklahoma City has not shown me enough confidence to think that they can come into Portland and steal a game.
See, that's where we're gonna have to disagree. And I don't doubt what you're saying about the road and winning in Portland. You got to remember, they fought back in game one and they were up double digits in game two. Now, I know both those went Portland's way, but if they win convincingly in 3-4, that means Paul George looks amazing. Russell Westbrook's playing at an MVP level. Ferguson, Adams, all the role guys played exceptionally well. And that's where I'm worried, because then they're coming back to Portland not thinking 2-2. Mm-hmm. It's 0-0. It's a new series. Well, it's a fresh start for them. They got their confidence. When this team has swagger, I think they're better than Portland. They don't have that swagger, and Portland is playing at an incredible rate right now. Here's the only thing I'll say, too, and we have a loaded second hour as well ahead, and we'll dive back into this in the final. If Damian Lillard was Paul George and Oklahoma City was up 2-0, I feel like more people would be like, oh, I'm taking the hot hand here. How can I not? When New Orleans won two games in Portland, We did this. Anthony Davis is amazing. No, they don't have an answer for him. This is embarrassing. They're playing really well, right? I didn't know about a sweep, but it was like, okay, great. They're going to win the series. We're not doing that so much.
It's because of the venue change, simply, I think.
Sure, but if Dame is any other player, a lot of people are like, hey, there's a chance they could sweep this, right? If Paul George was doing what Dame is doing, we would be talking about how screwed we are, right? And that's where I think Damian Lillard gets a little disrespected. Not maybe from you or I or Swag or some listeners out there, but if it was another superstar player, we would feel entirely different. Whereas with its Dame, we're loving it, we're enjoying it, but we still have a whoa, 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 whoa factor. Quite frankly, he's a superstar. He's playing like it, and he's taking the series over.
Yeah, to me,
I think that's what leaves me confident in their abilities going on the road.
Well, as it should. When he's playing at that level, they're very difficult to beat. I think a big chunk of that is disrespect. I also think, though, if Portland had gone into Oklahoma City and won the first two games and they were coming home, that would be the conversation. Like, if games three and game four were tonight and on Sunday at the Moda Center, we would be talking about the chance to sweep, because that's what we did a couple years ago against Houston. Remember when they went down there and Aldridge went off and they won the first two games and shocked everybody going on the road and doing that to Dwight Howard and Harden and the Rockets? We all thought, man, can they come back and sweep? And they didn't. They got a split at home, went and lost game five on the road, and then won game six. But I think part of it is disrespect, but a part of it is just a different element, having to go on the road. And if they win tonight, then absolutely the question turns to sweep.
I know, and sorry for being up against it here, Swag, but my point is, even with the road and home situation, I'm just saying other superstars, when they play this well, that's not a narrative. It's not the road factor. It's just like, oh, the superstar is locked in. Dame is locked in.
He is.
And I think that's why the road thing, not quite as concerning for me. I just think he's got his composure. I think he's really mentally locked in for this series. All right, loaded second hour. We'll dive back into Portland. Your guys' thoughts, the Better You Today text line at 55305. Let's start in the NFL, though. In hour number two, the Raiders have sent all their scouts home, and they're probably not going to have them back for the draft. This is a very interesting story that came out, and we'll talk about it next on The Fan.